Hello again, and welcome to another broadcast of Thine Word is a Lamp. It's so great to have you on the program again. And if this is your first time joining in, I'd like to say a big, big, big welcome to you. And also God's blessings to all of you who regularly join this program. Today is indeed a wonderful day of the Lord. This is Minika, and I'm so happy to be with you today as we read and study God's Word. Today, we will read and study Psalm 103, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Okie dokie, so get your Bibles out, grab yourself a drink, and let's dive into the Word of God. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like flower of the field. for the wind passes over it and it is gone. But its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, looking at Psalms 103, this is a psalm of David. And it expresses his heart of love for his Creator. It's so visible from the beginning until the end of this psalm. David remembers the goodness of God and encourages his own heart to look back on his life. He recalls the countless times that God has proven himself to be faithful, to be his deliverer, and to be his protector, recognizing his absolute dependence on the Lord filled his heart with gratitude, and he sang of the God to whom he entrusted his entire being. Let's take a closer look at this psalm. Verse 1 tells us to cultivate an attitude of praise and thankfulness to God. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. See, David begins with an exclamation of praise that comes from the depths of his devout soul. This utterance reflects a burst of enthusiastic devotion in honor of the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existing being who has entered into a covenant relationship with Israel. Now notice that David repeats twice the self-focused exhortation to bless the Lord. He commands, he gives a command to his soul, to his whole heart, to bless the Lord and every part of his being. He stirs up himself. He stirs up his own soul to praise God. David strains his entire being. He says everything that is within him, every part of his being, none excluded, from head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. So how does one do this? By giving a heartfelt praise, giving it affectionately. It's an admonition to love God with the totality of one's being. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 31st verse, it says, and this is Jesus talking, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The term bless, when used in reference to God, is to recognize and declare that God is the source of all that is good. It is the delight of the heart and gratitude for all he is and all he has done. Note that the word Lord is written in capital letter, and that word reflects the original term of Yahweh, expressing the absolute and ultimate nature of God. So when we see Lord written in capital letter, this refers to Yahweh, the name of God's true and complete nature, both sovereign and divine. This word expresses God in his fullness as Lord and Creator. And this is the closest rendering to the original Hebrew Old Testament. So this self-exhortation to bless the Lord is not unique to this psalm alone. So for example, we see in Psalm 34, and in the first verse, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The phrase, I will bless the Lord, is not a simple future tense. It's not even a statement of fact. It's actually a way of commanding oneself to take action. In other words, don't just think about it. Don't mentally agree with the need to bless the Lord, but take a firm grip of yourself and initiate the required action. Just do it. Bless the Lord. Let it come from the heart. Now, why is it so important to praise the Lord? Now, the psalmist tells us in Psalms 113, and in the third verse, it says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I'll say that again. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, this means that we are to cultivate an attitude of praise and thankfulness to God all day long. Again, we see in the Psalm 115 and in the first verse, it says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Now, we also see in the last three verses of this Psalm 103, from verses 20 to 22, it contains exhortations for everyone and everything to praise God. It says, bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David realizes that the cultivation of an attitude of praise and thankfulness to God must begin within his own heart. May I pause at this point to ask you this. Are you responding to God's call to cultivate a daily focus of praise and thanksgiving? If you haven't been doing that, then let's make up our minds to do so. Let's begin right now. Now we see in verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. In other words, count your blessings and don't forget them. David started by exercising the power of memory. In addition to cultivating an attitude of praise and thankfulness to God, we should also count our blessings and make sure that we don't forget them. And why is that necessary? because human beings are forgetful creatures. We too quickly forget what the Lord has done. We only focus on the ones that he has not done. Short memories. Taking what the Lord has done for granted. Forgetting to continually thank him. David realized this shortcoming in human beings, and so he reminds us. We see in Exodus 16, the Israelites all too soon forgot the mighty act of God when he parted the Red Sea, when he caused their safe crossing on dry ground, when he defeated Pharaoh and his army. And they were only too quick to moan and complain about the bitter waters of Marah. You see, my friends, in today's world, we are conscious of other benefits. We are conscious of our employment benefits. We're conscious of business benefits. We're conscious of promotions. We're conscious of the benefits we get when we fly business class. But we forget that God daily loads us with benefits. Now, one should not forget the fact of the kindness of God. See, by counting your blessings each day, you are saying to the Lord, as it's written in Psalms 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto God for all his benefits towards me?" Let's look at some of the wonderful benefits that God provides for all his children, as we see in verses 3 to 5. David listed 7 benefits that should serve to fuel or to motivate our attitude and practice of praise and thankfulness. It says in verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity?" Our God is willing to forgive all our iniquity. You see, the Lord has the power to cleanse from all unrighteousness. The book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter and the 2nd verse tells us that iniquity separates us from God, and sin causes him to hide his face from us. But the psalmist reminds us in verse 10, it says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Why? Because our God is plenteous in mercy. He is a merciful God. His mercies are new each day. He offers forgiveness to those who confess their sins and turn away from them and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we see that in 1 John, the 1st chapter and the 9th verse. You see, the psalmist assures us, as we see in verse 12, which says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions, our sins from us." And so we get this assurance here of a God who is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But please take note of this. Sinning against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. And we can see that in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32. Now the next verse says, who heals all your diseases. Our God is willing to heal all our diseases. There is no doubt in David's mind that God is able to heal. Now, although God sometimes heals in different ways than we've asked for, or heals on a different timetable, but our God heals. One of his names is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. It is who he is, and it is part of his job description. But God does not promise unconditionally to heal everyone's diseases, because God has said in Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 27th verse, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And most people die from one thing or the other. But I'd like to say to you that death is the final healing, where no more pain exists, as we see in Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 4th verse. So this verse is not intended to suggest that God's children can expect perpetual healing from every illness so that we will never die. No, we will die. It is appointed unto men once to die. This verse is not a promise to all children, or that all children will be able to tap into the divine power of miraculous healing. We also need faith to receive healing. Now remember that the psalmist, that David, addressed his soul. He has not just limited healing to diseases of the body. So let's think about the diseases of the soul that not only cripple many children of God, but can actually destroy them. In other words, I'm asking you, does the soul have diseases? Indeed it does. Fear, doubt, depression, anger, lust, hate, jealousy, pride, unforgiveness, greed. The list goes on and on. Now, the disease of the soul will spiritually handicap a person unless he allows God to do the work of inward healing. God is not only able, but he is also willing to heal his children of both inward brokenness and the diseases of the soul. The next verse says, who redeems your life from the pit, from destruction. God redeems in the sense of saving or keeping our lives from going to waste, from the pit. God redeems our lives from the pit, from self-centeredness, which throws us into a downward spiral of covetousness. You see, a life not lived in Christ and for Christ is a life that is only a shell of what God intended it to be. And for Christians, our lives count. And so our lives should not be lived in vain. Our lives have significance. Redeemed. Fulfilled ultimately in Christ, who paid the price of redemption by shedding his blood. So we are redeemed from the guilt of our transgressions. And our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished this for us as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And the next verse says, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. God crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. You know, this benefit is described like a glorious crown that God has placed on us. Now, the following verses abound in examples of God's steadfast love and mercy. So I'd like you to think about these statements. The Lord is merciful, compassionate, and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And that's in verse 8. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. That's in verse 9. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. We see that in verse 11. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We see that in verse 13. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. We see that in verses 17 and 18. My friends, I'd like you to think about the eventual crowning. In that day, there will be bestowed the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, which is also the crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. And the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Now this will be the ultimate expression of the kindness and compassion of the Lord God. So we should be diligent to retain this expectation, for it is possible to lose the hope of one's crown. And I pray that that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who satisfies you with good? Verse 5. God gives us satisfaction in our old age. He's saying that one of the benefits of being his child is that when we are old, we will not have to look back on our lives with regret. Even in your advanced age, you will be satisfied because of the good things with which God supplies you. Regardless of your age, regardless of how many years you have walked upon the earth, God will fill your heart with a sense of deep satisfaction. Our God enables youthful attitudes all life through, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I tell you, friends, the best is yet to come. This benefit reminds me of what Paul declared in the letter to the Corinthians. And he wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, which says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. So what's in it for us? Worship is an intelligent response to God. It's a response of praise. It's a response of reverence. It's a response of obedience. which comes from an understanding of who God is, what God has done, and who we are. God's great goodness and our great need should cause us to respond to Him in heartfelt worship. When your affections are low, do you command your heart to bless the Lord? In that particularly difficult moment of the day, how do you talk to yourself? What do you say to yourself? How do you specifically exhort yourself to hope in God? Psalm 103 is immensely helpful to help us to pattern a way of commanding our soul, especially in seasons of low affection. You know, let us take a look at what He has done for us. The very first thing is He furnished salvation, your salvation, my salvation, free of charge. You know, the very breath in your body is a gift from God. It is very little in return that we should praise Him with everything that is within us. God cherishes our praises, and through our praises, the power to bring light into darkness, the power to put the enemy to flight, the power to refocus our attention from our problems to the one who is worthy of our praises, the power to refresh us when we're tired, and the power to strengthen us when we are weak, to bring us into His presence in intimate oneness. That power lies in our praises. Psalms 22 tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. So remind yourself of what the Lord has done. You see, sin or pain or sorrow can blind us to God's present working. And occasionally, it blinds us even to the miracles He's worked in our lives in the past. And that's why we forget. It's so quick for us to forget. So in the fight to command our souls to bless the Lord, we not only call to mind the things in general that are true about the Lord, we follow David's examples to get concrete realities of His work in our lives. Let's learn to lift our gaze above our own circumstances, and let's fix it upon the Lord's act of provision and deliverance in the past. Let's tell ourselves what the Lord has done. What has He done for you? What did He do last year? What did He do in January? What did He do yesterday? Hold fast to the specific truth about the Lord. Now, David does something very instructive. Having reminded himself of who God is and what God has done in redemptive history, he latches on to a particular text, and we see that in verse 8. He says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." He latches onto that which the Lord has done. David is also quoting Exodus 34 and verse 6. So when you're talking to yourself Are you reminding yourself of what God has done for you in the past, has done for you in Christ Jesus? Do you have specific text with which you can exhort your soul? When the days are darkest, my friends, don't let your soul take command. Summon your soul to bless the Lord. Find specific text in the Bible with which you can use to fight the fight of faith, with which you can use to instruct your soul, to instruct your body and all that is within you to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. Do that now. Find scriptures in the Bible. I will conclude with these thoughts. You see, the power of praise is the power of His presence, and it can calm storms. It quenches fire, and it can move mountains. And the Lord longs to make that power ours. I pray that the word of Christ do dwell in you richly, in the name of Jesus. God bless you for listening. So if you have a prayer request, you can email me at thinewordisalamp@gmail.com, and I'll be praying for you. And so we end today's broadcast. I have had such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time with you. So join me next time and have a blessed and wonderful day. Over and out. God bless you.